Head Start is a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. This week, we'll continue in the Chasing the Wind sermon series as we look through Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And so we're actually going to step straight into the passage conversation or looking at the passage. Today, well, we got almost a full table. Myself, Tim, and Kyle, we'll just refer to ourselves as the cool kids, right? I mean, I feel like that's appropriate, so... So, Tim, you will be guiding us in, as we look at this passage of Scripture. So, if you share some thoughts and insights as we get ready for Sunday's lesson.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Well, this is the final amen. The title of the lesson is This is the End of the Matter. So, it is also the end of the book. And so, as we jump in to Ecclesiastes, we kind of hear that concluding heartbeat, and that we will wrap around here in just a few moments. But in verse 9 is where our passage begins for the lesson and our sermon passage. And it's kind of strange wording. It says, in addition to the teacher being a wise man, he constantly taught the people knowledge. He weighed, explored, and arranged many proverbs. The teacher also sought to find delightful sayings and write words of truth accurately. And just the way that it's written, some people lean and thinking someone else other than Solomon wrote this final word at the end of the book. That does not necessarily have to be true. I'd kind of lean that Solomon is writing and in a form that was familiar in his time, and it's referencing the teacher rather than in first person. But let's just break down kind of what he is saying. We know that Solomon was a wise man, and so in fact he was the wisest one that was on earth, and he was in pursuit of life under the sun and trying to find meaning. And what we hear him saying right out of the gate is Ecclesiastes was not just a thrown together book. It was constructed, we know, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the heart and mind of Solomon as he crafted carefully. We hear those words, carefully being evaluated, skillfully arranging, and artistically delivering what he called delightful sayings as he expounded words of truth accurately. And so the adventure of seeking to find real lasting meaning of life under the sun is not haphazard. It was evaluated, weighed out, explored, and then arranged in proverbs and with delightful sayings. Just as a reflection, since we're at the end of the book, you know, the opening theme is in chapter 1, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. As you're pursuing the meaning of life and under the sun, life without God in the picture, without that eternal perspective, the conclusion up front that Solomon gave, that is vanity of vanities. That is a futile attempt. This life under the sun is short. It's like a vapor. It's fleeting. Then we see Solomon's personal testimony of adventure, trying to find real meaning in life under the sun. And really the end of chapter 1 through chapter 6, we have that testimony of pursuits of the things of the world to try to find lasting meaning and only to come up empty. That the things of this world, as good as they can be, end up just vain, futile attempts to find lasting meaning. Chapter 7 through 11 that we have covered, he really leaned into the difference in life under the sun between wisdom and folly and the benefits of wisdom and the futility of folly. And now we heard in early part of chapter 12, talking again about death and dying and the reality of it. Death is unavoidable. And then restating his purpose in verse 8, where we ended up last week, vanity of vanities. But now we come into the end passage, and he just is basically saying, hey, Solomon, a wise man, taught the people knowledge. This knowledge was recording truth accurately, not done haphazardly. He weighed it. He explored it. He arranged it. And, of course, we believe fully in the inspiration of Scripture that it was by the Holy Spirit that he arranged truth to be honest and accurate in the book of Ecclesiastes. Then he gave some analogies. The sayings of the wise are like cattle prods, and for those from masters of collections are like firmly embedded nails. The sayings are given by one shepherd. Cattle prods are goads. And, you know, in our mind, we think of cattle prods. Solomon's mind, it was more of a long, sharp stick that was used by farmers to drive their cattle down the road. The thing about a goad is that it was not meant to inflict a fatal wound or long-term pain, but it was meant to get attention and prod and poke cattle or livestock so that they would move in the direction the shepherd wanted them to go. And so that's the image of the words of truth that have been given by Solomon throughout Ecclesiastes, that on one hand, they're meant to sting. They're meant to get your attention and prod or goad you in the way that God would have you to go. And so away from folly and toward wisdom, away from foolishness and toward the things of God. Then the picture of firmly embedded nails, I think the image of a tent peg might be given here. Not only are the words of truth given, do they sting, but they create stability. So the sting of the prod and the stability of the tent peg. When you drive tent pegs in firmly into the ground, they secure the tent. They create stability and security. So these words of truth that Solomon evaluated and weighed and then gave us accomplished two things. The sting of a prod pointing us in the right direction, and then creates the stability of truth of those nails that we can hang on to, something that creates that stability. Verse 12 is interesting. It kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. He said, but beyond these, my son, be warned, there is no end to the making of many books, and much study wearies the body. Now, as a student, I kind of locked on to that and just took it out of context, saying, you know, there's no need to read all these books and study all this stuff because it wearies the body. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's taking that out of context. On the surface, you know, verse 12 might seem to be a negative view of learning, but that is not at all what Solomon is saying. He's not saying that we should never read any books or write any books for that matter. It's really a contrast is not between the study of biblical wisdom or biblical versus the extra-biblical wisdom. But I think it leans more into that mindset of a failure to appreciate wisdom on one hand, and then the excessive zeal for study on the other hand. Maybe do not be like the person Paul warned about in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3, that person who is always learning and never able to arrive at knowledge of truth. That kind of pursuit could drive you to insanity. There are volumes and volumes and volumes of books today. Some say maybe over a million books are published every year. Well, even in Solomon's time, there were royal libraries that were just volumes and volumes. And you could almost drive yourself mad just in the excessive zeal for study and learning. But really, the heartbeat is to appreciate wisdom, particularly appreciate the wisdom from God's Word, that is truth that we can experience stability for this life under the sun. Be content with what the Bible says is one way to look at it. And, you know, don't accept anything less than the truth of Scripture. But there's no need to add to the truth of Scripture either. So this statement is a warning for students, perhaps, not to go beyond what God has written in your study. Stay true to what God says. The Ecclesiastes, to read Ecclesiastes, is to hear the shepherd's voice. Most translations are going to capitalize shepherd here, which gives us an understanding of the interpretation of the shepherd, that this God, Elohim, is the shepherd. It's his voice that we're hearing as we study Ecclesiastes and Scripture. Be careful then to listen to him. Let's be diligent in building our life on what this shepherd says, more than the wisdom of the world. Verse 13 brings it down to the conclusion. When it all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. My paraphrase of this is, when it's all said and done, the conclusion for life is fear God and keep his commands. It's not the first time that we've heard in Ecclesiastes Solomon's appeal to fear God. We're reminded that the fear of the Lord and to fear God means to honor him, to revere him, to think of him in the right perspective as Scripture presents him, to bow before him, to worship him. Basically, to fear God is to take him seriously by acknowledging him as God, as the one of authority in our life, and to center our lives upon him. Already in Ecclesiastes, Solomon has told us to fear God because of his work that is eternal. In chapter 3, to fear God because he is worthy of our worship, because of who he is. He is holy and righteous in chapter 5. To fear God in times of adversity as well as prosperity in chapter 7, that he is sovereign God and he is in control and he's worthy of our trust in those moments. And in chapter 8, gave us a promise that, hey, it does go well for those who fear God. I love the quote from Oswald Chambers. He said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. And so fear God is the first conclusion of the matter. After all that is said and done, how in the world do we embrace meaning in this life under the sun? And that is to recognize that there is a creator. And as chapter... as last week we discussed, remember your creator. And so as we remember him and really see him through the lens of Scripture for who he really is, we will be led to fear him. When we fear God, we do the second command very easily. We keep his commands. And then we have this phrase, this is the whole duty of man. Literally, this is the whole of man. That word duty may well be implied, but Ecclesiastes may be making a bigger point here. This is the whole of man. When it's all said and done, this is what matters most. This is what life is about. Fear God and keep his commands. Why? Well, there's a judgment that is pending. And because judgment is coming for all, everything that we do in this life under the sun does matter. Solomon started and ended his adventure in Ecclesiastes by saying that everything is vanity, and that without God, there is no real meaning or purpose in life. The question is that all there is, or isn't there more to life than what I see under the sun? Was often reflected throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And the reality is, if there is no God, if there is no final judgment, then nothing really matters. But if there is a God who will judge the world, then everything matters. And so the final message is from Solomon that, yeah, everything does matter because there is a creator, Elohim, and he is going to call into account those who are his creations, you and me. And so everything does matter. What we do, how we do it, why we do it, has eternal significance. The reason everything matters is because everything and everyone will be brought into account by this righteous and holy creator who knows all things. I love the quote from Corey Ten Boom. Says, "The measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation." So as we live this life under the sun, are we just going through the motions and pursuing the things of the world that don't give lasting meaning? Or are we pursuing the things of God and find our meaning, particularly today, in Christ, and we live our life on mission, and our life makes an investment into kingdom work and into others for God's sake? But judgment is coming, is what Solomon is saying. Scripture bears that out. You can flesh that out even more with verses that talk about how God will judge. Solomon has done that throughout the work of Ecclesiastes, that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. It seems like the wicked are getting away with things, but God will bring them into judgment. And we can be confident that judgment is coming. And so the motivation of life under the sun is fear God and keep his commandments, because we are all going to stand accountable before the God who created us. Someone said it this way: the joys of the present depend on the security of the future. And for the child of God, we do not fear God and keep his commandments out of fear, but rather we do it out of gratitude for the grace of God that's been bestowed on us. We know that in Christ there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so for the believer, our obedience and fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments is more out of gratitude for the grace of God and the gift of salvation. And I've often said throughout these weeks that without Jesus, there is no lasting meaning in life. And that's true. Jesus is the one who said, "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life," in 1 John 5. So lasting meaning in life is found in Christ. It's manifest in the obedience of these commands to fear God and keep his commandment. But it's a harsh warning to those who have never trusted Christ that there's more to life than under the sun. We will face Elohim, Creator God, and judgment at his throne. And for those who are outside of Christ, will be lost forever. So good evangelistic appeal at the end of this. But when it's all said and done, fear God and keep his commandments, because judgment is coming.
That really ties in to the measures moment, because Ecclesiastes is such a practical book, very much kind of like the James of the Old Testament, really, Ecclesiastes is. Just do this, don't do this. And just, this is what it looks like to fear God. This is what it looks like to keep his commandments. And so the measures moment this week is in line with that. It's really highlighting a student who lives changed. So, you know, a student who's growing in their faith, when you're growing in your faith, you know more about God. And as you know more about him, you want to draw near to him. And as you draw near to him, you become more and more like him, and you trust him and you follow him. And so gaining the knowledge that we get through Ecclesiastes leads to lives that are different, that look different, that prioritize things differently, schedule things differently, and just walk about in daily life differently. So the measures moment really connects with the whole of the book as well.
It's good. And so we think about pointing out one of the questions that's in the material, because that's, you know, a big part of what we do. The goal is to have conversation over the passage. Looking at page 41, it mentions the preacher was intentional about his words. He weighed and studied with great care what he would say and how he would say it. Maybe this is a question at the table here. Have you guys ever said something that maybe you wish you could take back?
Never.
Perhaps daily. Yeah.
like the words come out and you're like, could I please just grab them in the air and put them back in? I think we've all been there, and it's really something that you mentioned, James, because as I was looking at this, I was thinking of James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That doesn't mean that we don't speak, but much like what we hear, we see from Solomon, we see in our material here, the encouragement to let's make sure we've got these words the way they need to be. And so part of the question here is, have you ever experienced the wisdom of taking care with your words? Have you experienced the wisdom of, I want to say this, but let me process this a little bit?
Well, there's one wise man that has said often, don't miss a good opportunity to be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Or shut up.
Yeah, so. There's that. The follow-up question is, how do you need to change the way you regularly use your words? I think that'd be a really cool conversation to have in light of this passage of Scripture, to have that conversation in your small group with your folks in your group. Man, the picture here is how we want to train ourselves to think biblically. And what a great opportunity to have that conversation as we look at this passage of Scripture. So
that's really good. The Live It Outs are challenging, as always, but certainly this week particularly so. First one, what are you chasing that is ultimately vanity? How can you shift your priorities to fear God and keep His commandments? You know, in terms of fearing the Lord, seeking to follow His ways, how does that actually... How is that fleshed out in your day-to-day life? What changes in your schedule? What changes with your priorities because you seek to fear God above all and follow in His ways? So that can be a very challenging live it out. And then the second one, how can you seek an eternal perspective to change your approach to daily life? Very much in line with the first live it out. Taking what we've learned over these weeks in Ecclesiastes, and then especially in this last section, and going, what does it actually look like for me to live it out in my day-to-day walk, in my schedule, in my priorities? I think that live it out will be challenging for all of us.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing, fellas. I appreciate your time and investment into our leaders. Let's make a couple of announcements before we wrap up our time together. We'll start with Kyle first.
Yeah, so the first announcement is all about Big Kaboom that is happening on Saturday the 29th. And so we are in need of people to serve at this very large community gathering that we have every year, and hopefully there's no wind storms or anything this year, so we will be able to continue without blowing away. And the event really lasts from 5 to 9. We are overseeing the family fun zone from 5:30 to 6:30. So that hour, I certainly need people to be helping to serve. And then we also will have an info tent that will be up the entirety of the event. So that'll just require a couple people. So if you could as a leader participate, or if you can't, definitely make sure to invite your life group to reach out to me if they are able to serve. They can sign up online. By this point, when you're listening to this podcast, the only way really to sign up will be online. So if you can go to our website, under the events tab, you'll see Big Kaboom, and they can register there, and I will be in touch about the specific responsibilities.
That's good. And just a final reminder is about the Replant Serve Days. Our final one for now will be July the 13th, and we're asking all life groups, we're asking the 8 a.m. and the 10:45 life groups to come and serve on that day. Again, July the 13th, 8 a.m. and 10:45 life groups to serve at Southside, and will be from 8 a.m. until noon, and lunch will be provided. We'll be reaching out and communicating as we get a little closer to that. So just know that's coming. We have accomplished a number of things by this time, and certainly there's a lot more work to be done. So thank you for signing up and being a part of that serve day at Southside. That concludes our time together. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.